finish your thought. I don't think we got to.
So, as I said, we have never shielded our children from my background, but it wasn't a topic of daily conversation. It wasn't something that was drummed into them in any way, but when they were old enough, and as I said, these opportunities arose, then they got a accounting, and we have continued to talk about it. My daughter Carol joined a second generation support group at college and attended two meetings and then dropped out. She said, "Dad, I just don't belong there." All of the kids in the group, both of their parents were survivors. The topic was daily topic at dinner table, and they're traumatized by that background, and that's what they talk about, and she didn't need that.
Yeah.
They attended one or two, when they were in town, by that time they were in college. When we organized the survivors organization, there was a conversation group, survivors and second generation. That particular group found it most convenient that parents and children alternated at meetings, so that the children were there when their parents were not there, so they could ask questions from other survivors, and vice versa, parents were there when the children were not there, so that it would open up to other second generation. The kids attended one or two of these meetings, and you know, it had no meaning for them.
Do you attend meetings?
No. No. I mean, as I said, I was sort of thrust into thinking about it through personal circumstances. Once I realized that that was a part of my life that I wasn't about to shed, I have lived with it. When the Survivors Organization was founded in 1980, I believe, I was the first president. The organization, the focus for the organization was the first gathering of Holocaust survivors in Jerusalem. I didn't go because Norma and I decided that we would go when we can all go with all the children, and at that time we couldn't.
What year was that?
I think it was founded, we started it in 1980. 84 was the second gathering in Washington. I went to that, and two of my children came to that. In 80, I'm not sure of the date.
We can find that.
When Carol finished college, she took a year off and went to a ulpan in Israel. And we got the whole family together and went to Israel together. And traveled around Israel for 2 weeks. So I've been active in the Survivors Organization since then. I'm part of the Speakers Bureau. I've been on and off the Holocaust Commission. I'm on it now. I've taken on all kinds of responsibilities. One responsibility I cannot take on, I'm asked by the chairman repeatedly, and that is to chair the Yom HaShoah committee. That's that's too much. Right?
Do you speak at all the high? Do they speak at all the high schools?
High schools. I've spoken at high schools. I've spoken at colleges. I've spoken to Jewish groups. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to Hayas.
Do you speak to the parochial schools?
Yes. Yes. I've spoken to several Catholic schools. And now that it's interesting. Now I don't know if you know, but at the Holocaust Center, we have had a series of young German students come in on the Project Reconciliation, and as often as they can, they go out with a survivor and sleep at the same time. Yeah, and that's quite interesting. That's very good.
Let's hear about your children and what their lives are.
All right. Let's see. Greg is the oldest. He went to Cornell. He switched into civil engineering in his junior year. Got his PhD in civil engineering at the University of California. Taught for 3 years at the University of Texas. And is now back on the faculty at UC Berkeley. And he and I get confused quite often. He gets introduced as Steve Fenves, I get introduced as Gregory Fenves. Our professional work hasn't intersected that closely. That he took, he made sure to go in a slightly different area, but yeah, there are a lot of people who know him from, not a lot of his professional contacts know him from the time he was a child. Increasingly, there are people who know me as Gregory's father, not for what I have done. So that's very amusing. So they live in California.
He's married.
He's married. They have two daughters. Anna is 11, and Emily is 9.
And his wife's name?
Carmel.
So when it comes up on the computer, Francis, what happens?
Well,
are you together? I mean, are you feels close enough together?
Yes.
I'm looking for something.
Oh, yes, yes.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's not a common name either.
Right, right.
Well, that's something to be proud of, too.
Sure.
Oh, we are proud of all of them. Carol got her undergraduate degree at Michigan and spent a year in Israel. Met her husband to be there, Yitzhak, is Israeli. He came shortly, a year or so after she came back to the States. She has a master's in public administration, and she works for the City of New York as a contracts manager. In fact, she's coming closer to civil engineering than she thought, because she works for the Environmental Protection Agency of New York City, which runs the water and sewerage. And so she does run into civil engineers who know my name, are familiar with my name. They have two daughters. Molly is 6, and Ilana is 2. Peter is a year younger than Carol. He was born in 1960. He got his undergraduate degree at Wesleyan and his PhD in humanities at Johns Hopkins. And comparative literature program at Northwestern with appointments in English and German. You asked about punching up the name in library. If you punch up Fenves in a library system, his name comes up more than the two of us combined. He writes a lot. He is a deconstructivist philosopher, and usually when Jacques Derrida speaks, the second speaker after Derrida is Peter Fenves. Don't ask me. I proofread his PhD thesis. I didn't understand much of it, but at least I could proofread it and get typos and in the style. Peter is absolutely fluent in German. He spent a year at the Free University in Berlin. A very famous philosopher at Hopkins, who has been in the States for 50 years, still writes and lectures only in German, and had been pestered for a translation of his essays, and he said that the only translator he would trust is Peter.
Wow.
So.
Did you speak German to him?
No. Not Hungarian, not German, not French.
Is he married?
He's not married.
Now we have one more child.
And then our youngest is Laura. She was born in 1966, so and this big gap. I mean, a 6-year gap between the third and fourth. When they were young, Norma and I invariably would talk about them as the kids and Laura, because she was so different that. Anyway, she stayed with us 6 extra years after the other 3 left for college. She went to University of Ohio and then got her master's in higher education administration. And she works at the University of Maryland in their cooperative education program. And she is not married yet.
Pretty impressive.
So
let me just ask you, Hannah, how do you spell H-A-N-N-A?
Yeah.
And Molly, how do you spell Molly?
M-O-L-L-Y.
Okay.
And Ilana, E-L-A-N-A.
Okay. Right? Okay, sorry. Okay.
So that's the kids. We see them 2 or 3 times a year. Either they come Passover, at Passover, either here or now in New York, 3 out of the 4 show up. California, when we go to California, maybe one other shows up. Every so often, we rent a house for a week on the New Jersey shore and get everybody together.
That's nice.
So we are very close to them, and they're very, very close to us. And they're very good friends among themselves, which makes us very proud.
Gee, there are so many honors and awards on this biography here. Should we put them on the tape, or just...
Well, we have several choices. This will go in the folder.
Yeah.
Are there any that are, I mean, they're all special. Of course they are. Is there the most special one?
Well, certainly, certainly for
greatest honor.
Well, I think within the engineering profession as a whole, National Academy of Engineering is equivalent to National Academy of Science and the Sciences. So I was proud to have been elected there quite early in my career. That's one thing I appreciated a lot. And within the civil engineering profession itself, honorary membership in the professional society is the highest recognition within the professional society, and I got that So,
I'll just put the rest.
Okay, do you belong to a synagogue at the present time?
Yes, we belong to Temple Sinai.
And are you active also in the synagogue? Or?
I just elected to the board.
I guess you're active in the synagogue.
Rabbi Gibson has a informal prayer service and Torah study on Saturday mornings, and we feel more comfortable with that than schlepping out Friday night. But tonight we're going because it's the 50th anniversary service. So, yeah, I've participated in some of the activities. I was representative of the temple in the Shalom House 2 summers ago, Habitat for Humanity House that was run by the Jewish community. That's about it. We're not terribly active.
Well, I think being on the board is pretty active.
The Shalom House is a habitat.
Well, I owe this to my dear wife.
Yeah.
There was a workshop on how Jewish community, how some active spirit could be raised in the Jewish community, and one of the people there was a gentleman whose name escapes me now, who is a member of Tree of Life, but he's executive director of Pittsburgh Habitat for Humanity, and he made the suggestion that the Jewish community undertake the rehabilitation of one of their houses, both fundraising and actual work. And my wife and her friends immediately said, well, one way to save money is to appoint me as the superintendent rather than a paid superintendent of Habitat. So the director and I looked at each other and said, well, that didn't quite work, but I was second in charge.
Now tell us about this. Who lives, who's going to live in this house? Is it ready?
It was finished finished spring of 95. We worked about a year on it. It's in Braddock. A lady with her 2 daughters are living in it. And it was a very interesting project.
How did they choose the person?
Oh, you have to meet all of the HUD and other qualifications for qualifying for low-income housing. And then before you can move in, you have to put in 300 hours of sweat equity on other houses or your house.
Oh,
and because the waiting list is so long, most people have that done before they even qualify for a house.
That's President Carter's
right.
thing.
Carter's doing a lot of publicity for it.
Is there another house in the world?
Not, I think a number of people continue to work, but not as specifically as a Jewish community effort.
Is your wife working now?
Yes.
She's
a social worker at UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. She, Norma, well, Norma, okay, her brother went through very young through the University of Chicago College, which is Hutchinson here.
Yeah.
And she thought she could follow him, and she wasn't quite cut out, so she dropped out for a good number of years. Then we got married, and all the years we lived in Champaign-Urbana, she did not want to go back to school in part-time because she might have a class from somebody over on the other side of the campus, who may know me professionally. So she waited until Laura was in fourth grade, and then she went back to school, first University College of Pitt, taking courses in Mount Lebanon, then came to the main campus, then transferred to undergraduate social work program, and then she got her master's of social work. At one time, I had 4 dependents in college. our 3 older children and her.
Expensive ones, too.
And so she's been 16 years at the what was then Presby, which is now UPMC.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to discuss, Gabby? Is there anything else that you want to say? I can't think of, I think you covered everything so well.
Well, a couple events last 2 summers. June of 1994, the city where I was raised in Yugoslavia held a 50th anniversary commemoration of the deportations. It's now in Serbia. The boycott was on. But the city itself is run by a minority government where Hungarians, Croats, Serbs are equally represented. And this was a local initiative. The women in the family were absolutely opposed to my going. Not for safety, because it's far enough from Bosnia that there's no direct fighting, but that this would be perceived as some kind of endorsement of the policies of Serbia. I decided I had to go. My sister and I decided we had to go. So we went, and our youngest son Peter had a speaking engagement in Europe, so the timing was very good because he came along, and so did one of my daughter, my 4 nieces. It was a very interesting experience. Certainly nothing, there's no representation either from the province or from the government in Belgrade. It was strictly a local affair. But commemorative session and ecumenical service in the synagogue, Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Protestant, and Evangelical bishops, together with the chief rabbi from Belgrade, and a group visit to the cemetery, and the last night, a opening of an exhibit about Spolica Jury, and a memorial concert. Again, it was traumatic, but not cathartic in any sense. It was, I mean, I thought it was important to be there. I thought both the Hungarian and the Serbian community brought out special issues of the literary magazines of the town devoted to the Subotica Jury. Had 6,000 before the war, and about 4,000 died in the Holocaust. So it was nice to have my a page on my mother, her artwork, etc. Pages and pages on my uncle about the newspaper that he edited. Just one sentence about my father. At the exhibit, there were several of my mother's drawings, which are now in the City Museum, and the crocheted couch that was in our living room that's now in the museum. So I think it was very meaningful to be there. My sister and I still are looking for means to get the synagogue restored, because it's not in terribly bad shape. But it requires a lot of work, or otherwise it's going to fall apart. And then there were lots of very amusing aspects, like my three older cousins, since my uncle was much more prominent than my father, and my three older cousins were much better known than my sister and I were. There were several older people who said, you're lying, you can't be a Fenves. There were these three Fenves boys, and you're obviously younger than any of those Fenves boys. And a long explanation to explain that.
So your cousins from, they didn't go, but
they were much better remembered than I was. So that there were some amusing things about that. So I thought it was important to do that, and when I came back, everybody in the family agreed.
Did you see anybody from your childhood?
Yes. Well, it was very poorly advertised because of the boycott, etc. There were only my sister and I were the only two from the States, and about 12 people came from Israel, including several of people with whom I maintained contact, who couldn't come because the notice was too short. But yes, I saw several, a few of my, well, one or two Jewish classmates and quite a few of my classmates from after the war.
Any Jews living there?
There's a small Jewish community. The president, he has been the replacement, a gentleman in his 80s, 100% intermarriage of the people who are there. We stayed mostly with a friend of my sister's, whose husband is Serbian, whose son is married to a Serbian. Several of the young people had been to Israel just to look the place over in case the situation got worse, and they all said that they didn't see much common. So it's very sad, after 50 years of communism. I guess, so there's still a small community. There's not a minyan. They can't hold full-blown services. A self-taught gentleman conducts whatever services there are. One of the American reporters who traveled with us noticed at the temple, at the cemetery, that there wasn't a single person in the Kaddish.
Yeah. You said you had another.
All right, so that was 94. I had not been back into Germany since, I got this job, rotated from the army. I have lots of German colleagues visited me, with whom I co-authored paper, exchange papers. Last summer, the 6th International Conference on Computing and Civil Engineering that I was instrumental in starting was held in Berlin. And so I got the invitation to give the keynote address. Very, very, very formal, as German things are. After several rounds of email, they fax a draft of the letter they intend to send you to get your approval, so that when the official letter comes, it's responded positively. So I decided I had to go. And this time Gregory, our oldest son, came with me. The conference itself was fine. They were short. He fitted in perfectly. They were short of a session chair, and he just took over. But we had made arrangements that we would get there a few days earlier to do some museum hopping, which is my favorite hobby, and to rent a car and drive down to the labor camp in Niederroschel and to Buchenwald. And The night before, Gregory decided to treat me to a nice dinner, nice outdoor restaurant in Berlin. And in the middle, I said, well, what is it that we're going to look for? And so I took a paper napkin and drew a plan of the camp. And sure enough, by noon next day, we got there, and except that I had the orientation north-south reversed, it was there.
You were 13 years yes. old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's amazing.
That was really amazing.
No wonder you got all those awards.
So
should have told that psychiatrist.